The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Palmore. That was wonderful. Take your Bible and go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Pray for my daughter, Rebecca. She came in. She was sick this morning, high fever. And normally when we travel in evangelism, what we did is, even when I pastored in Tennessee, and my children, when they had high fevers, we just put them down in the office when they were little. We never missed church. We just came and we put them down in an office somewhere and kind of let them lay on the floor or lay on maybe a sofa or a couch or something like that. And that way we could go ahead and perform the task that was before us and serving the Lord. And we'd be able to keep check on them and stuff like that as well. And that's what we did this morning. And so she was in the office all morning with a high fever. And then tonight it just kind of went up a little bit. And so Mrs. Wells took her home. So if you'll pray for her, I know that she would appreciate that very, very much. And thank you for loving her family. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called," now watch the description, "Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I want you to notice that one word right there in the midst of it, would you? Counselor. I want to speak to you tonight on why God should be your counselor. And I want us to notice some things here that could be very helpful to us tonight as we consider him as our counselor. Okay? Kind of give you some ideas where I'm heading with the message. Brother Nash, just for simple illustration's sake, just kind of stand up, hold your Bible a little bit, and you two guys kind of walk over here without your Bible. Okay? There comes a time in each one of our lives where we have to make decisions. And so here's what we got. We have a representing Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one of all wisdom. By the way, the Bible is where you're going to get your wisdom from. Now you can say amen right there. The Bible is where you're going to get your wisdom from. Okay? And so what you do when you're going into a counselor, make sure he knows his Bible well enough to be able to direct you. Now, can I tell you, you may have somebody that's not in their Bible as much. You may have somebody, good people. You may have a relative that maybe not in their Bible so much, maybe even a friend, not in the Bible so much, okay? When it comes to what God says and what a relative says, friend says, or whatever, and that may not know the Bible that well, may I tell you, always give your allegiance to the Bible, okay? All right? And so what I do is I listen to the Bible, I hear the Bible, I see the Bible, I read the Bible, I meditate in the Bible, I try to do things that are right according to the Bible, okay, is what I try to do. The Bible is your guidebook, it's your map. How many have a GPS? Have a GPS? Hey, you know what I found out about my GPS? It's not always right. Punch it in. The other day I was going to a funeral home. I punched it in and I wound up someplace in a vacant lot. And I thought, okay, wrong place. So even the GPS can be wrong. Hey, you know what I found out? It's pretty neat. For those of you that are into electrical gizmos, I got an iPhone. My iPhone is more accurate for some reason than my GPS. Yeah, it really is. And it speaks to me in a male voice. Yeah, and so, all right, that's just for your knowledge. All right, but here we go. So we got that Bible. Now, that Bible can help me. I remember many times as I was going into the Baptist church as a young believer, I remember going to the Baptist church, and my pastor would say something from the pulpit, and all of a sudden it was like, whoa, never heard that one before, you know? And then I go home, look it up, and I found out, oh, wow, he told the truth. You know, and it was revolutionary to me that somebody would tell the truth from a pulpit. No, I'm kidding. But wow, he told the truth. And so then I would identify the Bible, truth, man of God, just kind of all seemed to fit together a little bit. But then I had some friends. It was in my public school. And I'd go to them and say, man, let me tell you what I learned at church. Man, look at this principle right here. And they would say, oh, they were Christians, but they go, that's just that preacher's opinion. I said, no, says it right here. Says it right here. And the more I believe the Bible, here's what I found out. They would follow me for a little bit. They would follow me for a little bit, but there was a time in their life where they stopped and I kept going. And because I kept going, there was a connection there, a connection there. Now, can I tell you, we have a counselor tonight that will never fail you.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Amen.
There's going to be some people that you're going to meet in your life. Here's what they do. They follow you for a little while, and then they stop. Just because they stop does not mean that you should stop. We have a counselor that will help you all the way through. David said, I once was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen God's people forsaken or his seed begging for bread. What's he mean, forsaken? Never forsaken spiritually, never forsaken physically, never forsaken intellectually, never forsaken friendship-wise. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Okay, thank you. Be seated. Now, let's watch this. Let me give you some things about why we can trust him as our counselor. Statement number one, he has the most experience. Do you know anybody as old as God? Raise your hand. He has the most experience. Do you know anybody that has as much knowledge as God? Raise your hand. Do you know anybody that could give you as much insight as God? Raise your hand. Oh, come on. You mean to tell me he's supreme? You mean to tell me he has more wisdom than anybody in this room? Do you mean to tell me that God knows more than anybody on earth? Now, if that is true, you can trust his experience. Here's what he says in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. He says, declaring the end from the beginning. Here's what he says. All the way from that which is the beginning, all the way to that which is the end, which is not yet. He says, declaring that which is from the end to the beginning. He said, even from the ancient times. Listen to what he says. He says, my counsel shall stand. He says, I will do my pleasure. He says, just want to let you know, in case you doubt it, that all the way from the beginning to that which is all the way to the end, God says, I want to testify about myself. He said, my counsel will stand. My counsel will stand. So he said, I just want to testify about myself. By the way, I would not want an auto mechanic to become my doctor. One want it. He doesn't know all things about being a doctor. Are you ready? I wouldn't want somebody to give me medical advice that's a mechanic. I would not want somebody to give me financial advice that's working in a pharmacy someplace. He's a pharmacist. I wouldn't want somebody giving me plumbing advice that is an expert electrician. I wouldn't want somebody to give me advice about a computer that's a farmer that's never turned on one. But can I tell you, God is all-knowing. God is all-understanding. God has all wisdom. By the way, the more experience you have with God, the more you trust God, the more you trust God, the farther you go in obeying God. Moses was put on the backside of the desert. Probably didn't understand it. Maybe questioned God in his heart. But the whole time he was on the backside of the desert, he was learning things that nobody else could learn. Coming to an understanding that nobody else could understand, to the point that God said, now you're ready to lead my people across that same desert that I put you on. There's a reason that we go through the desert times in our life. By the way, I wouldn't want a high school student that's taken a business math only, and he's just somebody that's new, if you will, to the business world or to the financial industry to be in charge of my portfolio. You know, I wouldn't want somebody that was just a new builder to be able to come out and try and build a house for me. I wouldn't want somebody, if you will, that did not have the experience of being a gardener to plant a garden for me. I wouldn't want somebody, if you will, that didn't have the knowledge, the expertise, or the experience to be able to do anything other than a person that had the opposite. They had the most experience. They had the most expertise. They had the most wisdom. They had the most knowledge. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, you've got a God tonight that has all the experience that you ever need. You can go to him for wisdom. You can go to him for knowledge. You have a good God tonight. I'm saying and talking about that which is God being our wonderful counselor. You see this, that he has the most experience, statement number one. Statement number two, he has the best record. The best record. Well, so-and-so said they would be there, and they didn't show up. God always shows up when he says he'll be there. But so-and-so promised, and he broke it. God has never broken a promise. But so-and-so gave me their word, and then they lied. God has never lied. Here's what it says, Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1. The Bible says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. It says, thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels, it says, of old are faithful and true. He said, Isaiah said this, I want to testify, I want to tell you about my God. He says, his counsel is always faithful and is true. Here's what David said, Psalm 33 and verse 11, the Bible says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Hey, I wouldn't want to go to a doctor. By the way, are you listening to me? Here's what they say about doctors. This is charted. Are you ready? 70% of the advice that they give may be right. Does that encourage your heart? That means there's a great possibility of the 30% being wrong. Recorded. Are you ready? Stockbrokers and financial advisors stand a 60% chance of being right with your money. 60% chance. Hey, I'm going to trust them. Good. You gave them 60% chance to do it for you. Can I tell you, God, 100% of the time. The doctor may misdiagnose you. The mechanic may not do the right job, may even put in the wrong part. The stockbroker may not always be right with your portfolio, with your stocks and your bonds and your investments. That which is the weatherman is only the predictor. He is not the producer. Somebody says, well, the weatherman said. That's how come we had so much trouble this morning. You know, we wanted to make a right decision, and in great turmoil were we in making that decision. Wasn't easy, wasn't something that was, let's just do it. Turmoil. Brother Al, wasn't it? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, Brother Stead came up to me in the hallway. Brother Kavanaugh came up to me in the hallway. And they just stopped me and said, Pastor, just want you to know, that was a good one. Brother Kazar stopped me, said it'd be better to do it this way. Just encouraging my heart. And may I say, look, it is very important that we understand. It doesn't matter what your record is. By the way, you may make a mistake. How many of you have ever met anybody in your life that made a decision and it was a not a so good one? Raise your hand. You ever met somebody like that? Good. How many of you have ever looked in the mirror and the person you were looking at in the mirror, which was you, by the way, did not make such a great decision? Raise your hand, confess your sin. Yeah. What am I saying? I'm saying there may be a time in your life where your record's not perfect. Now, what do you do if somebody, if their record's not perfect? Well, here's what I do, okay? Well, they're human. Now, don't you wish that everybody wasn't? I don't know who said amen. But don't you wish that everybody just had we were all perfect? Halos? Walking around? Angelic? But I've talked to your mom and I found out that's not true. Hey, look, I'm saying this. I'm saying that he has the best record. The doctor doesn't. The mechanic doesn't. The stockbroker doesn't. The weatherman doesn't. But God's never been wrong. God's never made a mistake. He's never been off in his judgment. He has never been misinformed or misinformed someone else. He doesn't give bad advice. You don't have to pay a heavy price for him being wrong. By the way, God has never been surprised, and he's never regretted one ounce of counsel that he's ever given. Why? He is God. And I tell you what, I wouldn't want a surgeon to cut on me that says, "You're my first." I would not want a mechanic to say, "Hey, Pastor, I realize you got problems with your vehicle. I'll fix it. Hey, what's your record?" "Well, it's okay. Last three vehicles I worked on only blew up three." That's not good. I would not want a chef to try and cook for me that has burned every meal. I wouldn't want a broker that ask him, "Hey, okay, hey, help me with my funds. Yep, 52, like to have something when I get old. What's your record?" "Well, you know, it's pretty good. You know, 60% of the time I'm right." Wouldn't want a lawyer to say, "Hey, look, I'll tell you what, I'd like to represent you. What's your record?" "Well, pretty good. I only lost the last 10. A realtor, "Hey, can you help me buy a house?" "Sure, I'm excited. How many have you helped?" "5. I'm saying God's way is always perfect. Here's what it says. The Bible says, and listen to it if you will. His word tells us this. He says in Psalm 19 in verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect." What's the law of the Lord? Your Bible. Now wait a minute. He says converting the soul. What's the soul? Soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. So what will convert your mind? The Bible. What will convert or should convert your will? The Bible. What should change your emotions? The Bible. The Bible says set your affections on things above. What's an affection? Things that affect you. Things that affect you. So what do you protect? You set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So what do? I allow heavenly things to affect me. Well, somebody hit my car and I'm having a bad time. That's a thing on the earth. Sorry. Well, somebody hurt my feelings and I'm having a bad time. Feelings on the earth. Sorry. Well, somebody stole my jacket. Sorry. Say, "Preacher, he's saying you ought not to get upset." No, you will. You're human. But you ought not to dwell there all the time. Hey, I'm saying this. How is it? "Hey, great peace have they that love thy, and nothing shall." Wow. So the more in love you are with the Bible, the less you'll be offended. Is that right? Okay, here we go. Says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise, it says, the simple. So here's what we do understand. We do understand in dealing with that, which is God himself. He has the best record. Why is his record so good? Because his word is perfect. Perfect. He's never broken his word. He's always kept his word. Years ago, we never used to sign contracts. We used to simply just shake the hand. That's what we do. We just shake the hand. That's what we do. You know, because a handshake was good as a contract signed in blood. Now today it's not that way. You have to sign triplicate copies. Okay? Here's what we do understand. His word is perfect. Now wait, because his word is perfect, guess what? His way is perfect. If you have somebody that has a perfect word, he's going to have a perfect way. Listen to your Bible. Psalm 18 and verse 30. Here's what David said. He said, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him,
So here's what he says. David said, I want to testify. He said, here's my testimony. He said, as for God, not only is his word perfect, but his way is perfect. His way is perfect. You ever come across somebody, and here's what they do. They do something in a better way than you do. Maybe a girl working in the kitchen area, helping out, and mama's way of cooking is better than your way. Maybe dad is working out in the shed, and his way of putting up something, fixing something, repairing something, working on something is better than your way. Here's what we learn about God. His way is perfect. Now, wait a minute, watch this. So if I learn his word, connect it. If I learn his word, and by learning his word, I walk in his way, then I'll find his will. Dr. Hiles used to preach many years ago that the what is more important than the where. If you're doing the what of God's will, then the where will automatically come up. Young person in Bible college says, well, preacher, I want to know where God would have me to serve. My first question would be to you is, are you doing the what's? Are you doing the what's? Can I tell you, God is the one that will exalt a person, and God is the one that will make abase a person. He's the one that will do it. He'll put one up, put one down. Put one up, put one down. That's God. Now watch this, if you will. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you know it well, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he said not to be conformed. Conformed. You have to be careful following the dress fads of the world that it doesn't conform you. Conform. That's an outward conformity. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Where's the transformation take place? By the renewing of your mind. First it starts in here. Then it comes out here. By the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, listen to it now, and perfect will of God. So the will of God is perfect. So how do I find the perfect will of God? I walk in his word. I follow his way. And by walking in his word, following his way, I wind up in his will. Hello? Well, I need a girl in my life, a boy says. You walk in his word, you follow his way, and you'll wind up in his will. But preacher, I tell you what, I just don't feel like reading the Bible. Then you'll never walk in his way, and you'll never wind up in his will. Come on. Unspiritual people always make unspiritual decisions. Spiritual people always gravitate towards spirituality. They do. They do. Okay, wait a minute. You ready? We read in the Bible, do we not? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, name of Son. All right, he's talking about soul winning. Go ye, go ye. Is that right? All right. So here's a person who said, man, I read that in the Bible. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to go out soul winning. I'm going to pass out tracts. Okay, they found it in the word. They start walking in the way. They have no problem figuring out his will. Stay with me. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. So much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm talking about faithful church attendance. Man, I read it in the book. There's the perfect book. I found it in the word. I start walking in his way. And now I know his will. See, here's what we do. We like the easy seminars. I'm going to go to this seminar and find out how to fix my finances. Well, why don't you come to church and get in your Bible and let God show you? You have a free seminar every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hello? So why don't you come, dive in, and let God help you? Well, preacher, you just don't understand. Sometimes it's boring. Only to the seeker and the way it's sought. Look, there's some people in church. Here's what happens. Some people in church, man, they come to church. They're like eager beavers. You ever see them? Now, I'm sorry. I've been, after salvation, attending church since 1979, faithful. It's always been the love of my life. As far as my activity on a weekly basis, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You say, well, sometimes did you ever come to church, preacher, when somebody get up and they were boring? More times than you can shake a stick at. Hello? We love to have conferences. You know why, Dr. Smell? Because when we had conferences in the church, these guys would preach these same messages over and over all around the country. Dr. House used to say it would take 10 times in preaching one message to perfect it. So, I mean, they became sugar sticks. They had their illustrations down. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, somebody said this about Larry Brown many years ago. I want to attend his church because that I heard him in a conference. Now, this is not a slight towards him or anybody else. But then when they started attending church, well, it's different. Because it's different. Okay, come on. Can I help you out a little bit? Here's a sister comes out on an average Sunday morning. She has practiced a song. Practiced a song maybe 3 times. She's scared. She's walking out. She sees you. Now she's really scared. The closer she gets to the mic, the drier the mouth. She hits this area here. Knees begin to play the chimes. Tambourines, whatever. She gets up here. She is scared. I watched some of her girls sing in groups. You know what I found out? They hold hands. You can't see them. But they're back here holding. One girl will hold the side skirt of another girl. I watched them. Man, I've watched my daughter sing. I've watched my daughter sing. She'll be up here, Dr. Smell, she'll be up here, she'll be holding the mic. Hey, I've watched some guys sing. I watched a couple of guys sing. They'll be up here and you think, man, that's neat. They gave him a vibrating mic. It's not a vibrating mic. It's called being nervous. Come on. Now, wait a minute. Are you watching this? But normally, somebody that we allow to sing in a conference, you know what that person is? They've got it down. Okay, here's what we don't do. We don't do this. I'm just trying to show you that you don't invest unwise money. We normally don't say, okay, guys, you've sang together. You did great on one song. You practiced it 3 times. Now we're going to make a CD. You know what happens? They got to practice, and then they got to get 12 to 15 songs down without holding the music there. You know, without having the vibrating microphone. They got to get it down. Okay, now wait a minute. I'm telling you this. All right, so here's what happens in a conference. We normally pick the person that's got the song down. They you know, God can use them. Come on, I used to travel America and preach in conferences, and when I did, I'll be honest with you, there's some times I said, boy, God, I know you use this one. My daughter used to say, Dad, give the illustration. I said, which one? She said, my favorite. She always, her favorite was that she didn't care about the sermon. She just wanted the illustration. Didn't matter what I was preaching on, she wanted one illustration. That was it. And that was when I would say, hey, listen, you remember when you dated her? You remember? You paid $250 for the jacket. You come into the mud puddle. Didn't think nothing of it. You took it off. You threw it down. And you said, oh, come on, honey, just go across it. It's okay. I'll sacrifice for you. Now you're married. You can't afford a $250 jacket. You go to Goodwill hoping you can find one for $5. You're married. And now you look at her. There's the mud puddle. There she is. There's the mud puddle. There she is. $5 jacket. You look at her and say, jump, baby, jump. Yeah. Hey, that's the only illustration my daughter ever liked. She said, what are you preaching on tonight, Daddy? I'd say, soul winning. She would say, can you give the jump, baby, jump illustration? Yeah. What are you preaching on tonight, Daddy? Prayer, preaching on prayer. Can you give the illustration, jump, baby, jump? I'm saying this. I'm saying that, listen, here's what we understand. We understand that as a person, by the way, reading his Bible is not always easy. Man, I'm excited. I'm reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles. I'm so excited. You can't even pronounce the names. You wish they were all called Harry and Sam. So reading the Word of God is not always easy. Can I tell you something else? Walking in His way, it's not always easy. The Christian life is a life of character and deep love. Therefore comes commitment. Come on. You can't sit there and say, preacher, I'm always excited about coming to church. It's not true. It's not true. That's how come you have a hard time paying attention all the time. You know? Hey, let me tell you about, that's in the middle of preaching. Perfect word, perfect way, you find His will. You find His will. Okay, you ready? Hardest thing you ever do in your life is have a prayer time with God. Have a prayer time. Second hardest thing I find out in my life is consistent Bible reading. Say, but you're the pastor. I'm flesh just like you are. You ready? Being obedient to God comes in close third. Just doing it because it's right. Doing it because it's right. Oh, but pastor, I thought you lived to attend church. Pastor, I just thought that you were just so excited about church all the time. I'm excited about His word. I'm excited about being with you. But not all the time is it, wow, wow, wow. And sometimes when you got 103 temperature, you really don't feel like preaching. I mean, everybody else drops out at that time. Hey, are you listening to me? Sometimes you just feel like stopping soul winning at 1 o'clock when everybody else does. You don't feel like going to 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. You get tired. You get weary in well-doing. Come on. You ever do this? Sit there and preacher's preaching. Holy Ghost circles you and then points to you. You ready? And here's what you do. You say, I'll tell you what, I'll take care of that when I get home. I don't feel like going to the altar. Get down there and kneel. My knees hurt. I feel like going to the altar, going down there and standing. My feet hurt. I tell you what, I'll take care of it when I go home, sit in my lazy boy recliner rocking chair, put on the vibrator, and say, dear God, I'm now ready to meet with you. That's the easier way. Now, am I being honest or what? I'm saying this. I'm saying that he has the most experience. He has the best record. Are you ready? I'm saying that he has the best viewpoint. God sees it from above. There's an eye. Mrs. Aaron showed me where her son works downtown. Big old eye. What it's doing there in the middle of the lawn, I have no idea. But it's just an eye in the middle of a lawn. Downtown. The eye. Can't even go. Years ago, they had this song about Texas. The eyes, plural, of Texas are upon you. You remember that one? This is an I, not even two. Psalm 32 and in verse 8, the Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee by mine eye. Doesn't say eyes. So if they put that there in accordance to this Bible verse, they were practicing more of the Bible than the song. The eye. He said, I'm going to guide you. Okay, you ever guide your children when they were younger? You guys have young children, right? You too? Okay, watch this. You got some older children. Okay, well, you got younger too. You got all ages. But you guide them with your eyes. You ever do that? You ever do that? My kids would tell when I was highly disturbed about them, Brother Kavanaugh, I'd give them the eye. The eye. There was that mean-looking eye that I'd give them. They started to disobey, I'd just give them the eye. There's a delightful eye. The sober eye. The thinking eye. Okay, and your eyes. God says, viewpoint, viewpoint. He looks at us from his own viewpoint. He can see us. And he can guide us with his eye. Not only that, but as he sees us, he sees everything that we do. There's no guesswork. There's no wonderment. There's no estimation. There's no possibility. There's no conjunction, if you will, please. There's no speculative or being in speculation about. There's no imaginary to it. God knows. All right, I'm saying this. Here we go. Got to go. This is last one. He's the most experienced, best record, greatest viewpoint. You ready? Most interested in you. You know what I love about God? He's interested in me. He knows who I am. There's been many times in my life, though, I've come to him and said, God, this is Mike. You and me, we just need to talk. Got some things on my heart. I know you care. Let me talk to you a little bit. There's come some times in your life when you have to realize he's interested in you. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20, the Bible says, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise. It says, in thy latter end. So what do? You come to him and say, God, I really need you to give me wisdom in my latter end. What happens here? We understand this, that God is never too busy. He's not out making a buck, so he's too busy for you. He's your counselor. He's not a counselor because he needs the job. He's a counselor because he loves you. He's not a counselor just because he wants another addition to his profession. He's your counselor because he loves you. He's not a counselor tonight because he doesn't have enough to keep him busy. He's busy, but he's still your counselor. He's not a counselor tonight because he needs an extra hobby. He's your counselor because he loves you. He's not a counselor tonight because he wants to build himself a name. He's already got the highest name. You can't get any higher than that, but because he loves you. He's our counselor because he has our best interests in mind. He loves us, he cares about us, and he wants to help us. If I had two doctors tonight to choose from, I'd choose the one that had my best interest at heart. One of our members recently was sick. And I said, well, why'd you choose that doctor? Here's what the member said. I called him up, and he had time for me. He had time for me. When you have time for somebody, it shows how much they love you. Hey, it's good for our youth workers to check on our teenagers. How you doing? How you doing? It's good for the parents to stay in check with their children. Yay, husband to wife, wife to husband, how you doing? It's called relationship. All right? Now, I'm saying this. He's got the best interest in you. No greater love than God's love. No greater care than God's care. No greater concern than God's concern. No greater interest than God's interest. No greater friend than God. God can lead. God can direct. God can help. God can guide. God can give counsel. God gives correction. God's given us a book that's called the Bible. That's the guide map. It is the direction book. It is the owner's manual. God says, I've got a good track record. You can trust me. By the way, with your children, let me help you. How do you know when you're losing them? You ready? How do you know when your children are moving farther away from you than closer to you? Can I help you? When they stop seeking your advice as much. When they stop seeking your advice as much. When a child walks in and says, let me tell you what I'm doing, instead of coming in and saying, would you pray with me about this? I need your guidance and your wisdom. I trust you. I trust you. Are you listening to me? Now, maybe I'm a little bit old-fashioned, Dr. Smell, but I was raised to believe that my parents had my best interests at heart. My parents could give me an answer, up to you, whatever you want to do. I knew I had freedom. My parents could give me an answer, no, I don't want you to do that. My parents could give me an answer, no, you're not doing that. Now, we live in such a passive society, most parents are afraid to tell their kid what to do. Let me tell you when your parents ought not to tell you what to do. There comes a time, bride walks down the aisle, if you will. Groom is standing in the front. Preacher says, who giveth this bride away, or who giveth this bride in marriage? And the dad speaks up and he says, her mother and I. Now all of a sudden, they get married and they become one flesh. Okay, at that point, dad, are you listening to me? It's time to back off. It's time to back off. It used to be a day, can I tell you? Used to be a day in America. Used to be a day, not this way anymore. It's really sad. Used to be a day in America where a child would live at home until they got married. Can I tell you the system in America today? When a child graduates high school, you dump them into a system and you let the system become their parental guidance. Don't make any sense to me. Here's what we do. We raise them, they graduate from high school, and boom! We say, now you're a full-fledged adult, you make your own decisions. It's called a system. A lot of our families get caught up in the system. Can I tell you that's not a Bible system? It's not. Show it to me in your Bible. Dare you. Can't find it. Let me give you a Bible system. You give your child, are you ready? The responsibility of making a decision on their own, only to the degree that you believe as a parent they're mature enough to make that decision. You're quiet, but it's true. Dad, can I get my license? I'm 16. Well, son, you're not mature enough even to ride the bike. What makes you think you're mature enough to get the license? You parents, you listen, you need to get a grip. Well, I'm just afraid that if I tell them what to do, they will rebel. They're already rebelling. You just are blind enough you can't see it. Hey, why don't you, you ready? Here we go. Man, you're quiet in here. We're going for 2 more hours. Why is it, I'm asking you a question. Why is it tonight you teenagers think that all of a sudden when you graduate high school that now you're mature? Yet mom and daddy's still telling you how to make the bed. I don't get it. You know, let me tell you where it's at. Let me tell you where we mess up. We mess up because we have been conditioned by the world. By the world. When my child says they believe that they should do this, okay, so what? So what? So what? Here's what happens. You give them away at the marriage altar. At the marriage altar. By the way, when you give them away at the marriage altar, are you listening to me? Then they become one flesh. One flesh. There's a leaving and a cleaving act that takes place. You say, well, I don't have spiritual parents. What should I do? All right, then you find somebody that you can trust to guide you in spirituality that your parents lack. But you always should have somebody older and wiser than you to help you make stronger spiritual decisions. Come on. All right, can I help you? Normally, you would go to an older person. An older, been around a while. Got some success underneath their belt, if you will. Are you listening to me? Here we go. I got to quit because you're quiet. But I'm afraid here's what we do. Here's what we do. We trust our kids when our kids do not have the maturity to make right decisions. Come on. Josh, how old are you? 24. You married yet? You gonna be? If I tell you not to do something, will you not do it? I'm not talking about getting married. It's not a trap. It's not a trap. I've already told you that's okay. That's okay. If I tell you I don't want you driving your vehicle on your bus route today, what would you say? Yes, sir. He's 24. Still lives at home. Yeah, he should be out on his own. Not if I say he shouldn't be out on his own. See, there comes a time in your life where you got to realize God has authorities in your life. I think you ought to trust your parents until your parents say, okay, I think you can do it now. They know you better than anybody else. Stop giving them grief. Your parents say, well, you're just not mature enough to handle it. Here's what y'all say. Yes, sir, I'll do whatever you say. Matter of fact, if I'm not mature enough to handle it, what do I need to do to grow in your sight maturity-wise so I can earn your trust to be able to handle it? Rather than saying, I'll tell you what, I don't care what you got to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. Boy, that sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Really walking with God there. Now, if your parents give you choices, that's different. Your parents give you choices. Parents says, okay, hey, there's five guys that I would approve of that if they ever wake up and they ask you about courting, any five of these guys, just say yes. Hey, if mom and dad does that, super. But you ready? But if mom and dad says, you see this one guy? If he ever asked you, the answer is no. That's with a big N and a big O. No. All right, then what you do is you say, no. Yeah, yeah. Every time you see him walking down the hallway, you say, no. Boy says, well, why are you doing that to me? Mama said. Daddy said. You're a no. By the way, it might cause him to mature a little bit. He may go to your mom and dad and say, well, why did you say no about me when it came to your daughter? You really want to know? Sit down. You're mature enough to handle it, or are you going to get offended? You really want to know? Sit down. I'll tell you. Hello? You know, if we would be what we should be, it might help others to become what they should become. One Bible, one truth, being obedient, walking in His way, you find His will. It's not all that hard. Normally, parents are not going to make up the Bible, chapter and verse. Here it is. Here's what it says. We're done. Let's just decide that we go to Him for our counsel. He's a wonderful counselor. Father, bless, we pray tonight. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.